Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. We are already talking about the 2026 election season because today, Flathead Judge Dan Wilson has announced that he's running for Montana Supreme Court. We have Judge Dan Wilson to kick things off here today on Voices of Montana. Let's say hello, Flathead Judge Dan Wilson, again announcing his run for Montana Supreme Court. Did this in the last session, and it was your first run, Judge Wilson. And by the way, good morning, and thank you for coming on today. How you doing, sir?
Well, great, and good morning to you, Tom. It's always a pleasure being on your show. Thanks for the invite.
It's always good to chat with you, too, because there's a lot of things to discuss, and we'll get to some of these national issues as well. You ran a pretty good campaign, a quarter of a million votes in the state of Montana this last time around, and in your announcement today, Dan, you want to bring a conservative judicial philosophy to the state high court. I find that refreshing in my mind and interesting as well, because the legislature has been trying to get across the finish line the ability for judges to say, and you're not saying you're a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, that's not it. But they're trying to get across the finish line this partisan elections for judges. And I know a lot of Democrats will say we might as well do that because, this is what is happening right now. The only thing we don't have is transparency about it. What was the motivation behind, specifically labeling yourself, I guess, you want to bring a conservative judicial philosophy? What's that mean?
Well, it means that's who I am, and that's always how I've been. It's what I've been as a judge and what I would be on the Supreme Court. Look, a conservative judicial philosophy is just this. The conservative judge does not seek to put his or her thumb on either side of the scales or justice. Instead, reads the law and the Constitution exactly as it was drafted, does not legislate from the bench, and does not rule based on some relationship to special interests. And that's kind of a lonely position to take, but it's essential that judges maintain that sort of approach and philosophy if the judiciary is to stay in its lane, to do its job as it's allowed to do under the Constitution, and not interfere in the interests or the powers of the other branches of government. So that's why I say I'm a constitutional conservative, because that's what I've always been and that's what I will be on the Montana Supreme Court.
And I think a lot of people who would ask the question, is it difficult, or what's going on with today's courts, or there's criticism about the judiciary being more of a legislative branch. How, in my mind, it's probably less complex and simpler just to look at the law versus look at all the noise around you.
Well, there's not only just that, but the conversations, the narratives about opinions and decisions that are coming out of various courts, whether they're federal, whether they're state courts, is always sort of tinged with a political perspective by the speaker, whoever's writing the article, whoever's giving the speech, whoever's standing up in Congress or whatever, making their views known about a judge's decision. But at the end of the day, the decisions that count, the decisions that matter, the decisions that are going to be upheld and affirmed on appeal are the ones where the judge sits back before making a ruling, takes a deep breath, and says to himself or herself, it's not what I want to happen in this case that's important. What's important is that the parties get their chance to make their arguments in court, but at the end of the day, we rule based on the law, because that is the only thing that can be defended on appeal or otherwise. And that's what we need out of our judges. And I think, we saw an instance of how the judicial system works in our country when the Supreme Court ruled just yesterday or the day before on the question of the Venezuelan Trenvirogua gang members' argument that they could not be deported, or that this Enemies Act that President Trump was using as the basis for the deportations did not apply to them or wasn't a proper basis to deport them. And people think, after hearing this story, well, you know, Trump won in the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the law is no impediment to his deportations. And that's not really what they said. They just said, look, these cases are properly brought not in Washington, D.C., before these D.C. federal judges, but in the federal court where these people are being held. So, and that was as a result of the appeal process. And this is what I'm talking about. Yes, the judicial process is a little bit unwieldy. Sometimes it's a little bit slow, but in the end, it has to be deliberate. And in the end, I think we owe it our respect.
What else is interesting about that case? I'll just let you, maybe there is more to it. Peel into it for us.
Well, the case was being set up, as I understand, from reading the opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court, as a class action. So it was being brought by a sort of a small number of members of this Tren de Aragua group, hoping to represent the interests of all of the members of that group that possibly could be deported, to define what their arguments were, their characteristics, and join in this class action to sue the Trump administration and say, you can't deport any of us, and you can't deport all of us. And what the U.S. Supreme Court said is, look, you know, this is not a class action situation. If you are subject to deportation by the efforts of this current administration, you're entitled to notice, and you're entitled to notice enough in advance that you can file for a writ of habeas corpus, one of our most ancient legal remedies, to challenge the legality of anyone being held in detention, mm-hmm. and say, I'm being held illegally. But the very basic structure of that habeas corpus petition is that it has to be brought against the person who's holding you and in the judicial district. So if these fellows are being held in Texas, then that's where they have to file their case, not by filing it in the D.C. Circuit Court. And there have been arguments. There have been attacks on the judge who made the rulings. And the fact that the case was now taken away from him really is not saying he was completely wrong in everything he did, but he was wrong in a very basic thing he did, which was accepting jurisdiction of a case where these guys were not located in his district.
District Court Judge Dan Wilson is with us here again, just announcing today a candidate for Associate Justice for the Montana Supreme Court. Maybe it's early. We kind of feel like it is, but 2026 is really not that far away. You're more than a year out. You've got a lot of experience. I want to talk about that, too. You've served as a prosecutor in Great Falls, Chinook, and then later in Kalispell. You've been 12 years on the bench. And you ran last time, and I will remind you of this. We were kind of chatting off air, where you said, you forget how much fun it is when you get out there and you meet people and they tell you what's on their minds and you learn so much from them. And I'm going to remind you of that, because these races can get rather long as well. But talk about that first experience and how that changes District Court Judge Dan Wilson for this next run.
Well, I've been 8 years now on the district court bench. I was a justice of the peace before that here in Flathead County. But how did the experience change? Well, it's all a continuum. It's all an experience that started last year. It is very difficult and expensive to get the word out that you're running. It's very difficult, time-consuming, and expensive to get your message out so people know who you are, can take an objective, good, long look at you before they decide who to vote for. And sometimes that effort just takes more time and money than one election cycle can provide. And so that's why we're getting an early start in this. We hope to raise considerable funds because we'll need them, anticipating to needing to combat the inevitable negative attack ads that will come largely from out-of-state groups. Yeah. But if last experience is any guide, But the experience was a great one, and here's why. When you're campaigning for statewide office, especially as a judge, which is kind of a lonely job just by its nature, you get out and you get to talk to people directly and hear what their perspectives are. And I'll tell you, the most gratifying part of the experience of running last time around was talking to people and getting to understand just how much they love their Constitution, the rights that it grants them and protects for them, and also how much they care about their Montana Supreme Court, how they want it to function as a very objective, common sense institution of government that, yes, protects all their rights, but also makes opinions that are going to stand the test of time. And any opinion that comes out of the Supreme Court that is not held together by good logic and sound common sense based on the plain language of the Constitution, yes, it may be the ruling for now, but it's not going to stand the test of time. And that's what Montanans really want, and that's what I provide as a judge, is opinions that stand the test of time because they are cemented by plain language, not legislating from the bench, and common sense.
What goes into making those opinions for you, Dan?
Well, looking at the facts and the law, and like I said, taking a deep breath, sitting back, thinking about what the decision is going to be, removing yourself from the emotion, sometimes the very high drama and emotion of the moment involved in the case, and saying, okay, well, what does the law really say here? And how do we achieve a result in this case that's going to vindicate not only the party's interests in the case, going to resolve it one way or the other, but stand the test of time by following the law, providing good guidance for the future? The hardest part about being a judge is that in every case, somebody wins and somebody loses. And so the unenviable part of being a judge is you have to give bad news, often to very good people. And sometimes the winner doesn't win all that they want. But the point is, it needs to be stable. It needs to be based on common sense. And we need a judiciary that stays in its lane, that does not try to poach the powers of the other branches of government to achieve some kind of temporary political or special interest goal, but stays with the Constitution and the law.
Is there a story? And Dan, thank you for throwing your hat in the ring and for the public service in this regard too. I want you to leave us with a story if you got one in mind. And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but people will say maybe it was a conversation you had, maybe it was a case where you think about that every day almost, or that has shaped your life or shaped the way you think about something. There's oftentimes there is that kind of turning point or a memory moment for people's lives. Do you have one of those, Dan?
Well, I have a case that keeps coming up both in my experience and in my conversations with people as I get to know them. And it was in the heart of the pandemic, and there was an effort by state government to shut down businesses in Flathead County, arguing that they weren't following to a T the governor's mask mandate. And these were restaurants and bars and gas stations and the like. And this was a moment of high drama. No one knew how this pandemic was going to turn out. There was tremendous conflict, lots of protesting going on publicly. And in the midst of all that, I conducted almost a full day hearing, and I heard all the evidence from the government about what these businesses were doing wrong and it's putting everybody at risk and risking health, life, limb, and otherwise. And in the midst of all that, we conducted a hearing. Everyone was very respectful in the courtroom. I heard all the evidence, and there wasn't enough to show that the government could prove that there was either an intentional violation of the mask mandate, which at that point had not been determined whether it was lawful or not. It's just a question of whether it was being willfully violated, and there wasn't the evidence. And I ruled against the state, the government, and in favor of the businesses and would not shut them down. And I think about that moment a lot because as a judge, when you're making those rulings in the sort of the heat of the political moment, You don't know what the future holds. You don't know exactly how this ruling is going to be received, but you do know what the law is. You do know what is required of you. And what that case taught me is that if we put our faith in our system and we elect judges who follow the law, thick or thin, high water or low water, you know, feast or famine, we're going to come through things okay. And that's what I think has been one of the most pivotal moments in my judicial career. And it's a lesson that teaches me every day.
I appreciate that. And thank you for sharing, too. It's Wilson for Justice, W-I-L-S-O-N, S-O-N, wilsonforjustice.com to learn more. And we'll be chatting with you down the road, Dad. I know it's a long haul, and it's probably smart to get out now. There is a seat being vacated, I believe, on the seat on the Supreme Court as well. And I wish you luck in your run, sir.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.